Now we're holding on Membeys, Umud Beys, three lines from the bottom. Now we're in the middle of discussing the question if a Nazir or Kohen, because basically the same rules apply to both of them, is already Tomei, is he getting Malkus for becoming Tomei again? So we have Rabbah saying that only if one of them is Tuma and the other of them is Bia, because you have two different expressions in the pasuk. So if, for example, he was already Tomei and then he additionally walked into an oil mess, then he's chayev basically based on Gzeres HaKosov, just for the fact that he went in even though he's already Tomei. But if he was already Tomei and then became Tomei with the same way, let's say by touching or what have you, then he wouldn't be chayev Malkus twice. Then we had Rabbi Yosef saying that no, even Tumah v'Tumah, he would be getting Malkus. He would be getting Malkus twice. Now we went on in the Gemara to discuss the matter of chiburin, where you have if Reuven is touching a mess and Shimon touches Reuven, then we have a concept that as long as Reuven is in contact with the mess, then when Shimon touches him, Shimon is also going to be Tomei for 7 days and need to be sprinkled with Parah, Adumah, water and the whole 9 yards. So we were discussing, is that concept Daraisa or Darabanan? On the face of it, if we're saying that we're going to give the person Malkus, then that implies that it's Daraisa, because Darabanan wouldn't be Malkus, there would be Makas Malkus. But we said, on the other hand, we find that this Tumah b'chiburin, there's a difference between a person who's going to be eating Tumah or Kodshim, where we apply that din to him, versus Nazir v'Oisa Pesach, where we don't, because there's Kores involved. Or in the case of Pesach, there's Kores. In the case of a Nazir, there's Korbanus. And again, that distinction wouldn't work if it was Daraisa, only if it's Darabanan. So we ended up saying that there can be a difference between whether you have a chain of three people, Reuven touching the mess, Shimon touching Reuven, Levi touching Shimon, where then we can say that would be only Darabanan, versus where it's only Reuven and Shimon is touching Reuven, who's touching the mess, where then that would be Daraisa. Throughout this whole sugya, by the way, you have Tosfos and the Mefarish have different understandings. Is all of this distinction of the various kinds of Tumah b'chiburin would be valid according to Rabbah? In other words, that when Rabbah is saying that Tumah b'tumah loy, he would be saying that it depends what kind of Tumah, whether he's still touching the mess or whether he's not. Whereas according to the Mefarish, all of that was according to, and to be exact, what it would be is it would be Abaya answering to defend Rabbah's position. Whereas the Mefarish learns that actually it's all within Rabbi Yosef's position, that Rabbi Yosef himself is saying that there would be a difference between chiburim and not chiburim, between the various kinds of chiburim.
Chiburim means touching.
Yeah. So again, in other words, you have that if Reuven is touching the mess, and then meanwhile, while he's still touching the mess, Shimon touches him, that's called tumah b'chiburim. And then we also have, as we said, you can have where Levi is touching Shimon.
You all together at the same time.
Right.
And then the third one who's touching is considered all like touching the mess.
So that's the thing. So what we're saying is in this distinction of chiburim, we're saying that Reuven is definitely tumah mess because he touched the mess, no question about that. He has 7 days tumah, the whole 9 yards. Shimon is touching him. We're saying that tumah is also daraisa because he's touching Reuven, who is touching the mess, and therefore he becomes tumah for 7 days as well.
He's getting Malkus.
And if he's a nazir or kohen, he's getting Malkus. Yeah. Then you have when Levi is touching Shimon, and Shimon is still touching Reuven, who is touching the mess. Then we're saying that tumah of Levi's that he's tumah for 7 days would only be drabbanon, and therefore we apply that only for Truma and Kodshim, but not for Nazir and Oisa Pesach. If Levi is a Nazir, or if Levi is on his way to bring a Korban Pesach, we're not going to impose that din, Drabbanan, of making him Tomei for 7 days. Instead, we'll say that he's Tomei only Tumas Erev. We'll leave him at the din Daraisa. He's just Tomei for that 1 day. He needs Tobel and he needs Head of Shemesh.
I think because of touching, it's all like touching them directly, the third person.
No, so that's the thing. So that's what we're saying. We're distinguishing between that. Yeah, you even have a case of the first Mishnah, and Aulis describes you can have a chain of four things that are, you have a person touching the mess, and a keli touching the person, and a person touching the keli, or whatever. You can wind up with a chain of four people and slash things where even the last one is an avatoma and is tome for 7 days. But here we're not getting into that level of detail. The point is, in other words, that there is such a thing as tuma b'chiburin, and the point is, therefore, we can draw a distinction between whether, for example, the nazir is already touching a mess, where then there's no greater tumah that there can be by him touching another mess, even right now as he's touching the first mess. If somebody touches him, then that other person is going to be tumah for 7 days, and therefore we can argue that if now he himself touches another mess, there's no more malchus to be given for him, because he's already as maximally tumah as possible, versus where he let go of the mess, where now, after all, the difference is, now as long as he is not touching the mess, somebody else touches him, there's only tumas erev, there's only 1 day tumah. As opposed to if he now touches another mess, then that concept that somebody else would become tumah tumas shiva comes back, and therefore that's reason maybe to give him malchus for that second touching, i.e. he himself is already tumah, but now you have an additional degree of tumah that affects somebody else that you wouldn't have if he wasn't actually touching the mess.
And being oil does make it stronger. If you're touching a mess, it's the same thing.
Touching them, yeah. When we say, yeah, we're talking about actually touching. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Aval tumah v'tumah loy. So evident. Now the question is then, in this distinction, so we're saying only when there's chiburim involved, so it comes out when Rabba said, Aval tumah v'tumah loy, that Rabba said that if the nazir is tomei, and then he becomes tomei again, and again, according to Tosfos' understanding, we're saying that Rabbah is saying that fine, tuma b'chiburin versus not b'chiburin would be different. But if he's b'chiburin, then we're saying he touches another mess at the same time. Then Rabbah is saying he wouldn't get malchus d'amitame v'koyin, because he's already as tomei as possible. Well, the question is tuma b'yonami hamitame v'koyin. The question is then, in that case, then why is Rabbah saying that if he became tomei and then in addition went into an oil mess, we're saying that he would become, that he would get malchus again? After all, they're also, he's already as tomei as possible. So if he's carrying a mess on his shoulder and then he walks into an oil mess, he's already as tomei as he could possibly be anyway. Even the tumah b'chiburim applies. If somebody else touches him while he's carrying that mess on his shoulder, then that other person is going to be tomei tumas shiva. Is going to be tomei for 7 days.
Why not?
So you already. Right, that's what we're saying. But in other words, the point is, in other words, again, what's the logic? We're saying that we brought in this whole matter of tumah b'chiburin to say that there can be a difference between, it's fine, once a person is tomei mess, he's as tomei as possible. But on the other hand, you can draw a distinction between, is there the maximum tumah possible that could result from him? If he's touching the mess, then yes, you already have reached the maximum. If he's not touching the mess, then you still have something higher, because you can have, when he's not touching the mess, another person touches him. He's only tummy for 1 day. If he's touching the mess, that other person is tummy for 7 days. So therefore, you want to draw that distinction. But now, why then is Rabba saying that if there's tumor ubiya, if he were already tummy and he walks into an oil mess, then he's getting a second set of malchus? Why? You have the same issue. The maximum amount of tumor that could come out of him is already done, because he's touching the mess.
You know, he left go, but he's
no. Left. If he doesn't let go, that's what we're talking about. So that's the thing. Tosfos explained, if it was just he touched the mess and then he went into an oil mess, then Rabba is going to agree. Again, there's no chiburim over here. So yes, he's going to be getting malchus twice. Rabba himself is drawing a distinction between tumah b'tumah and tumah ubiya. So in other words, tumah b'tumah is talking about he's already holding the mess and then he touches another mess, versus where he's touching the mess and then walks, and then while still touching it, walks into an oil mess. Where Rabba is saying in the first case he doesn't get malchus and in the second case he does. Why? Either way, he's maximally tumah. Why is going into an oil mess creating any greater tumah than you would otherwise have?
So your second case means what? Second case?
You said second case, where he's tumah and then walks into an oil mess. So the answer is Amar Rabbi Yochanan. And again, the Meforish will learn the question differently, because according to him, the distinction is within Rabbi Yosef's opinion. So he's going to say, then in what case is Rabba saying that tumah and bia, a person gets malchus twice? If there's no chiburim, then either way he should be getting double malchus. And if it's talking about the chiburim, then again, there's no greater tumah. Anyway, so Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kan ba bayis, kan ba soda. So Rabbi Yochanan answers, there can be a difference between going into a house where there's a mess, where then, so where then he, as soon as he walks in, he's becoming Tomei because he goes in there. So then he's getting two Malkus, number one, because at the same moment he became Tomei and he went in, and therefore he was over on both the mitzvahs and the Torah. He was over on Lo Yitama and he was over on Lo Yavri. So in other words, it's similar to the way, for example, the same way as you could have, let's say, a person eats certain kinds of shrotzim, he can be getting multiple Malkus because he's over on multiple Isurim simultaneously. This is called Isur Basachas. You have many examples like that. You have throughout Shas where a person does one action and he's chayav for multiple Shemus. So fine, here you're talking about the Nazir was Tahor in the first place, went into the oil on this. Now, at the same moment, he's over on Lo Yava and he's also over on Lo Yitama. Therefore, Rabbah would be saying he's getting double Malkus. Kanvasada,
What is it called when there's
it's called Isur Basachas. It's called Isur Basachas, where the two Isurim
Isur Basachas.
Basachas means at the same time. Isur Basachas. Yeah.
So they have warnings in between.
Fine. They'd have to be giving him Asura for both of them. Fine. They'd have to be telling him, don't go into that house. If you do, you're going to be over on Lo Yovei and Lo Yitama. And he says, I don't care, and I'm going in there anyway. Fine, of course. Okay.
Yes, so at the same time for both.
Yeah. So Kanbas Soda, as opposed to the other one, is talking about where it's in a field. In other words, there's no roof. So he's not going into an oil a mess. So now that would be what we're saying. There's no way for him to be chayev two malchus at the same time. If he touches two mesim of asachas, then it's all one hasra, because the hasra is telling him don't become tummy mess. And he touches one with his right hand, one with the left hand, but it's still, it's the same tumma. If you're talking about that he's carrying a mess and they told him, and then somebody else is about to hand him another mess and they warn him, don't touch that other mess, mechul of oymid, he's already mechul because he's already carrying the one mess and you have a maximum tumma, so therefore you have no greater tumma from the second one. Again, the Mefarish is going to understand, according to his shita, that the distinction between chiburin and shaloi b'chiburin is according to Rabba, that kanbas tzadeh would mean, in other words, that he touches a mess in the field and then goes into an oil mess, and then at that point he's already tomei, and then therefore he can't become more tomei. Tosfos says on it, pirusha kuntras kosher lahavin, it's hard to understand that explanation. So then Tosfos prefers their explanation.
Tosfos said Harkins and Rashi.
Yeah.
And the first
the Mefarish is not written by Rashi. It seems it was written by the Rivan, Rashi's son-in-law. Could be that Tosfos is referring to a Rashi to an actual Pirush of Rashi on this Masechta, which is lost. Or he could mean maybe the Mefarish that's in front of us, which is yeah. Okay. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? Babayis Nami. Well, then if you're in a house also, why is it any different? Kiven to oil yode, as soon as he puts his hand into the house, istarv, he becomes Tomei. And when the whole rest of his body comes in, Tomehu, then he's already Tomei. So because he's already Tomei from the moment he put his hand in there, so he's not doing the two Isurim b'vasachas. So you're telling me that you have a case where he's accomplishing the two Isurim b'vasachas, but how do you have that? Lo Yavoi would imply that his body or most of his body comes in. Lo Yitama means he can't become Tomei. As soon as he puts in any part of his body, his hand, or the Gemara is going to mention soon, his nose or his toes or whatever, then he right away becomes Tomei.
Because
of Lo Yitama.
No, he's not Tomei until he.
If he goes into the oil mess. But that's he's starting to walk into the oil mess. You can't call it Lo Yavai until most of his body is in.
Oh.
But you can call it Lo Yitama as soon as any part of his body that's going to is going in there. And think of it, if a person walks over to a caver, for example, and sticks his hand on top of it, his whole body is going to become Tomei. So
even his hand becomes the oil. Okay.
Right. Well, forget about the hand becoming an oil. Let's say it's not a matter of oil. Let's say it's a matter of touching. Fine. He reaches over and touches the mess. His whole body.
Touch somebody.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. The point is, in other words, the same thing over here. What are you telling me? It's b'vasachas. It's not b'vasachas because first he becomes Tomei the moment any part of his body enters the oil. And that's Lo Yitama. Lo Yavai is only going to be when most of his body comes in there. Rosh HaGerubah.
The only time I understand if you touch it, but if he just has
no, if he goes into the oil, just he goes into the just he oh, you have a house where there's a mess inside, and he reaches in through the window. Then yes, with his hand. Then yeah. So still, how are we? How are we saying that that you have isur basachas, right? Ela Amar Rabbi Elazar siref yodoy. So what we're talking about is, you're right, if he sticks his hand into the oil mess and then walks the rest of them in there, then you're right. Mishum tumah ikum mishum bialeka. Then you're right. There would only be the matter of he'd be over on lo yitama. He wouldn't be over on lo yavo because it's true. By that point, he's already tomei. Lo yavo is not really adding anything more. But siraf gufoy. But what we're talking about is let's say, for example, he has his hands. He has his hands by the sides of his body. So his hands are stiffly by his side, so he didn't put them in first. Well, then then in that case, in fact, the tumah and the bia are going to come at the same time. Okay, Tosfos points out there's a little bit of a different case when you have a house that has tzaras. Tosfos mentions that point, but okay, that's a different kind of thing. Here we're talking about an oil mess.
So if he has his hands by his side,
and he walks in, then on the face of it, tumor be a bar in kachas. But the Gemara asks that still. Still, inevitably, his nose will have come in first. You know, Jews have big noses, so. V'nochas le'tuma, and again, as soon as his nose is inside, then tuma comes on him. V'nochas le'tuma, and tuma comes on him. Ela amar Rava hichbis yodoy. So no, Rava says like this: if he puts in his hand first, mishum tuma ikum mishum bialek. Fine, like we said, he's going to become tuma, and he's oiran lo yitama, but he's not oiran lo yovay because you can't call that bia yet. Hichnis gufay, but if he puts in his body first. So in other words, he bends outward. He bends his head outside the house, and he schleps his body in first, and then he puts his head in. Tumor bia b'hadi adori kas, and then you're going to have the tumor and the bia are going to come at the same time. By the way, Tosfos points out, why doesn't the Gemara just say that he's walking in backwards? And the answer is, Tosfos says, because that's not really considered bia. We find, for example, we'll get to in the Gemara Shavuos in a couple of years, Bez Hashem, that walking backwards into the Bismikdash when a person is tamei, for example, it's not called derech bia, and therefore he wouldn't necessarily be chayev until his whole body is inside. So the Gemara asks still, fine, his toes are going in first. So tumah is going to go on his toes, spread to his whole body. And again, only when he finishes getting his body inside is there going to be bia. So you're back to the question, if not isur basachas. And again, then if he's already tumah, then how is the bia creating any greater tumah that we should say that there should be a problem?
Looks sideways.
It doesn't matter sideways, why, no matter why what, don't there's we, some part of the body that goes in before some other part. What?
Why don't we use the same criteria as when for the Beis HaMikdash?
Because ultimately, when his whole body is inside, he's going to be over on bia. That's what we're talking about. In other words, fine. Eventually, he's going to be over on bia. But by that time, he's already become tummy. By the Beis HaMikdash, the tumah is not relevant. But the other way around, we're talking about when he's tummy and goes into the Beis HaMikdash. So there we don't need things basachas. Here we're trying to find how we have these two things happen to basachas. Ela, Omer, Ela,
what's the
Omer,
difference Omer. Again?
Say what?
Why is it different from the case of the
Bismikdash? The person is Tomei, and we're talking about when is he chayev for entering the Bismikdash. So we can say that if he walks in backwards, then that's not considered you don't have the mitzvah of lo yitama. There you just have the mitzvah of once he's Tomei, he's not allowed to enter the Bismikdash. So fine, we can talk about then until he goes in and stays there a certain shear of time, then you can't say he was over on going into the Bismikdash Tomei. Here we're talking about we want to find how he's over on two Isurim. Of Asachas. You only have two Isurim to work with, becoming Tomei and entering an Oil Mess. If he becomes Tomei as soon as some body part of him goes in, then what is, even if he goes in completely later, how does it matter? He's already Tomei. So So Ella, so Ella, Omer a Papa. So rather, a Papa says you're right. You can't find it in a way where he's walking in. Rather, you would have a case where the person entered in a box. We've learned before in the Masech, the Shid Tevo Migdal are various kinds of large wooden boxes or chests. And then his friend came and broke open the plaster, and thereby, in other words, so now the tumor comes in. The tumor will be a body abdication. So now the tumor and the beer come at the same moment. So therefore, and after all, before it was broken open, he was completely tahor. Therefore, now we have a case where the two isurim come to basachas, and therefore that he's going to be getting malchus. Obviously, it would have to be that it was broken open with his consent. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about. Remember, they have to give him asura to get malchus. So it would have to be that they'd warn him. You should be aware. You're right now inside an oil mess. If you give your friend permission to break open the container or whatever, then you're going to become Tomei. And he says, I don't care. And his friend goes and does it anyway. And then, and Achronim talk about on the Rambam that the idea is that even though on the face of it, it's Lav She'in Be'Maisa, but the fact is that there was a Maisa going in there in the first place.
He's not Tomei when he comes in with it.
When he comes in with a Shita Tevo Migdal, at least on a Doraisa level, he's not going to be Tomei. We touched on this point earlier in the Masechta, that the Tumma at that point, at most, would be only Dirabbanan. We're going to talk about it later on in the Masechta as well. It's called Oihol Zoruk. Right. It's called Oihol Zoruk. It's talking about a movable oihol. We did mention over there also Tosfos a drawn distinction between an oihol that's moving versus one that's not moving right now. So you have he was brought in and a shigat tevo migdal and that was placed on the floor. We can say that is a valid oihol and protects him from the tumah until it's broken open.
So no, the oil from his cover does not let the tumor in.
So that's one way. Marbaravashi says here's another way you could say. You could have, for example, the Nazir went into the room while the person who was in there was a goisis, which is that he's on his deathbed. Literally the word goisis means that literally the word goisis comes from the word magus, which means stirring. So you have when a person is on his deathbed shortly before death, like he's coughing up and rattling around phlegm in his throat. And that kind of thing is called goisis. Gemara elsewhere talks about roiv goisis in lamisa, that most goisis in eventually die. There is, at the beginning of the Masechta, we had something in Tosfos, and there's other places where the Gemara draws the distinction maybe between goisis bidei adam versus bidei shamayim, where he's a goisis because of natural causes versus because he was wounded or whatever. So now you have, so he went in when the person was a goisis, the nafik nishmasa adi yosef, and then the person passed away while the nazir is sitting in there. Again, the tumor bia b'hadi adodi kasyon. So now again, the tumor and the bia came at the same time because the moment this guy died, he was over on lo yitama, and he's also over on lo yovid because he wasn't supposed to be there in the first place.
He was there ready.
No, that's the point. In other words, he went in when the guy was a goisis. Right. So he shouldn't have done that. He should have taken into consideration that after all, a goisis is very likely to die soon, and then he is going to become Tomei. So now we can be mechayev him malchus for that. In fact, the Rosh asks that wouldn't it be hasra safek, because you don't know whether the goisis is going to die. So the Rosh brings up a couple of possibilities. Maybe Ma'abar of Ashi holds that doesn't matter. Hasra Suffolk can be considered Hasra. You have machlokas about that in a number of places in Chas and Makas and in other places. And another point is also, since again, Roiv Goisis in Lemisa, then it amounts to Hasra's Vada. You're telling him you could be sure that guy is going to die within a couple of minutes and therefore don't go in there in the first place. Okay, and again, the point is, in other words, that since the going in to begin with was doing something that was usur, and that can be considered a maisa, then eventually he can be getting malchus, even though at the moment he becomes tomei, there's no maisa involved. So there was the original maisa of going in when he wasn't supposed to. Okay, so those are cases where you have truma and bia come at the same time, and those would be the cases where Rabba would say that he gets double malchus. So one thing Tosfos says, we can learn from all of this, basically the same dinim apply to a koyin and to a nazir. You see from that, therefore, that even if a koyin is tomei, he's not allowed to become tomei for others. Now, let's say, for example, a koyin is allowed to become tomei for his relatives. But based on what we're saying over here, it would mean he's not allowed to go and become tomei for somebody else. So in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that for that, I don't know if this is commonly done now, but it used to be that when they buried Kohenim, they would bury them as close as possible to the edge of the cemetery. That way, when their relatives or other Kohenim come to visit, when they first do the Kavura. They're going to be coming over there and becoming Tomei, which fine is legitimate because if they're seven relatives and the Torah allows them to, but this way they won't at the same time become Tomei with the other Kvarim that are in the area because they're not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, but if it's an open, it's not a gate.
So maybe the difference is that nowadays our Bate Kvarim are built with the Kvarim further apart, so maybe it's not as necessary and you have they have fences and they have, all kinds of things. Okay. More goes on. So now getting back to where we talked about. So we've just been talking about goisis. Let's talk about that a little bit. Tonan abonon lehi chaloi. The pasuk says about a kohen head yet that he's not allowed to become profane, to become desecrated by becoming tomei. So ad shah sheyamus. So that means that he only becomes tomei when the person actually dies. But meaning, in other words, let's say, for example, Tosfos says, let's say the person was cut up. So you have various cuts and bruises and body parts that are falling off or whatever. Still, the guy is not Tomei yet. The person who's there is not Tomei yet because this person is still alive. Mind you, by the way, if an Eiver is cut off, then it actually is the Tomei. There's actually a story in a Medrash involving a Koyan by the name of Yosef HaKoyan, where one time he had to have an operation done on his leg. Keep in mind, this is, back then, no anesthesia, no nothing. His son is there helping him out. Just before the Yosef tells the doctors, just before you finish cutting it off, please tell me. When it's just still hanging on by a thread, he tells his son, please leave the room. As soon as it's cut off, you're going to become Tomei, and I don't want you to be here and then become Tomei. And the Chachamim praised Yosef that even at a time like that, he has the presence of mind to think of such things. But here we're talking about, even if, for example, the person is badly wounded and cut up or whatever, the fact is he's still alive, therefore he's not metame yet. Rebbe says we can learn that concept in a different way. The pasuk says b'moisam yitma. The pasuk says when they die, he becomes tame, again implying ad sheyamus, only when the person is actually dead. Agos Habach says a different pasuk, lo yitam lahem b'moisam, whatever. Anyway. So the Gemara asks, "My benayu." So, what is the practical difference between Rebbe and the Chachamim? So, Amar Rabbi Yechon, "Mashmos Dorshin Ika benayu." Rabbi Yechon says, "There's actually no practical difference between them. They're just arguing which pasuk you're learning it from." But they both agree that there's no naftamina as far as the actual deal. Resh Lakish Omar Goisis Ikabinai. Resh Lakish says, in fact, the nafkamina between them would be as far as a goisis. Lamanda Omar Milahichaloi, if you learn from the word Lahichaloi Afilu Goisis, then you would say that it applies even to a goisis, because after all, he is going to die soon, and therefore it would be also for a Koyan to touch even a, or a Nazir to touch even a goisis. Again, since Roiv Goisis and Lamissa, since most of them are going to die, then already he'd be Matame. That's the Rosh Lord, that he'd actually be Matame. The Meiri says that no, it's more of a Xera, that he might die. In fact, Rav Moshe has in one of his Chuvas, in the end, the Halacha is going to be like Rav Yechanan in this regard. Therefore, a goisis is not actually metame. So therefore, for example, a koyan is allowed to treat a goisis. Let's say, for example, if koyan is an EMT or something, then he's allowed to. As once the guy is dead, then not. So then he has to withdraw. But as long as he's still alive, then he is able to.
Even though he has a chazaka.
He has a chazaka, but still, yeah. Again, there can be a difference maybe between goisis b'dei adam and goisis b'dei shamayim. Maybe one of them is more light when we say roiv goisis and lamisa. Maybe it only applies to one kind. So Rish Lakish says that Lamando Omami Lechalo, if you learn from the word Lechalo after the Goisis, then it would mean that the Koyan or the Nazir is not allowed to touch even a Goisis. Lamando Omami Bemoisam, but if you're learning from the word Bemoisam, when they die, Ad Yomus Ein Goisis Lo, then it would only apply only when they actually die, but not a Goisis. Okay, the Gemara asks, Lamando Omami Lechalo, Hapsib Bemoisam, Nu, and according to the opinion, according to the Chachamim who learned from the Lechalo, what are they doing with the Pasik Bemoisam? The answer is, they would use it to teach us a different din that Rebbe says. The Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Remoisam Einim Atame. The Pasuk is saying that a Kohen or a Nazir is not allowed to become Tomei with people when they die, implying that only Tumas Nes is also to them, Av Matame, Benig Osam, Ovizivosam. He is allowed to become Tomei through a Mitzoda or through a Zod. So a Kohen or a Nazir is allowed to touch a Zav or a Mitzora, even though he's becoming Tomei, because it's only Tumas Mess that's off limits to them. The Rosh mentions over here that if it's his father, so maybe the Rosh is learning that dispensation would only be for his relatives. But whatever, the point is, in other words, a Kohen Gadol or a Nazir is not allowed to become Tomei Mess, even for his relatives, but if there is Zav or a Mitzora, he would be able to. So we learn that from the word Bemosam. And according to Rebbe, who learns from Bemosam, then he needs it for that Svara. So how can he himself is saying the din, so how can he use the word Bemosam to teach us that there's no problem with a Koyan or a Mitzvah or a Nazir touching a Gosis? The answer is, Imkem Lemakro Bemos. Rebbe would say, if that's the case, if we only needed to learn that din, then the Pasuk could have said Bemos, in death. My b'mois sum, why instead does it say b'mois sum, sham minotarity, therefore you could learn both dinim from it, both that there's no problem touching a goses, and also that that there's no problem touching a zav or a mitzvah. Okay, so the Gemara asks Lamando.
Major difference.
But fine, but the point is, we're learning them both from the same pasuk. Okay, well, Lamando omer b'mois sum oksiv lahichaloi. Fine, what is Rebbe doing with the words with the word lahichaloi, which the Tanakhama had learned from that about ad shah shayomus, only when the guy dies. The answer is, lahichaloi lahochi u'da'asa. The answer is, Rebbe is going to say, the word lahichaloi comes to teach us the following. This whole din that a Kohen is not allowed to become Tomei would only apply when he's not already dead, or a Nazir, only when they're not already desecrated, as opposed to if he became Tomei already, now if he touches a mess again, then we're not adding any more Tumah, and therefore he's not getting more Malkus, according to the various possibilities that we mentioned before, as far as Chiburim, and so on and so forth. Okay, so the Gemara asks, fine, so doesn't the Tanakhama need to learn that Svara from the word Lahichaloi? So how can he learn from it that only when the person dies? The answer is imkein lemakro lahochel. Again, he would say similar to what Rebbe says about b'mois and b'moisam. It could have said lahochel. My lechaloi sham minotarti. Again, we can learn both things from it because of the extra vowel. Okay. Well, the Gemara says meisvi. Though I have a contradiction to Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish, you're telling me that there might be an issur according to the Tanakhama of the Braisa on a nozer or a koyin touching a goisus. But we learn in a Mishnah, Odim ein matame el achatetze nafshe. A person is matame only when his soul leaves him. Bafilu meguyad, even if he's cut off, even if he's cut up, and again, you know, those limbs partially cut off all over the place. He's certain to die soon, but still, bafilu goisis, and even if he's a goisis, so he's not matame. So ulamando amala hechaloi. So the question would be, according to the opinion that you say that you learn Malechaloi, Hokatoni, Deinim Matame, then you're saying he's not Matame. So according to Resh Lakish, why would the Tanakhama have any problem with a Kohen or a Nazir touching such a person? The answer is, the Gemara answers, Le'in Tamuye ad Nafka Nafshe. Sure, as far as actually becoming Tomei, he's only going to become Tomei when the person's soul leaves him. But as far as that the goisis is called a cholol, and we can say lahichalo, I mean, don't touch this person because he's a cholol, that can be ha'ischil. At that point, he is already considered a cholol because of his wounds and everything, and because of roiv goisis in the missa. And therefore, if the Tanakhama is learning from lahichaloi that he's not allowed to, then that would mean, even though he's not actually a tamer yet, nevertheless, there's a special issur already on a koyan or a nazir not to touch such a person. Because the pasuk says lahichaloi, and the person who was wounded and beat up or whatever is already called a cholo. He's already called in a certain sense a dead body because roiv goisis in the missa. In fact, Tosfos says that the Gemara could have answered that maybe this braisa is only according to Rebbe. That this Mishnah rather is only according to Rebbe. Anyway, Tosfos points out, what's the bottom line halacha? Well, when we have a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, then the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, the result will be that a kohen is allowed to touch a goyis. On the other hand, Tosfos brings from halachas gedolos that instead of that pew we have, the way we had it in the Gemara over here was Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish arguing the halachas gedolos from one of the Uli Goinim has instead Abaya and Rav, where Abaya taking Rabbi Yochanan's place and Rav taking Rish Lakish's place. Well, the halacha is like Rav against Abaya. So that would mean, in other words, since according to Rava, that we would say there is in fact a machlokes, and we know the halacha is like Rebbe is not like Rebbe because he's arguing against the rabbim. The result would be the halacha would be like the rabbim, and if according to Rish Lakish, which according to the halachas gedolos is really Rava saying that from the hichale we learn that a kohen cannot touch a goyis, then the result would be that a kohen can't touch a goyis either. So again, that shuva from Moshe talks about this, we should try to be machmir when possible, but we do have what to rely on as far as a kohen treating a goyis, if we use the gear say in front of us over here, that's Rabbi Yochanan saying that, and the halacha would be like. Well, again, even when a kohen is tamei, he's still not allowed to become more tamei. So, yeah, there's still is that. Okay. New discussion. We're talking about, again, that all this time we've been talking about that a kohen is allowed to become tamei for his relatives, a regular kohen, that is, not a kohen gadol, and also not a nazir. So now we're kind of digressing from the topic of nazir to talk about becoming tamei mes in general, to talk about this concept of when a kohen is able to become tamei mes. So, Amar of Chista Amar Rav. Nikta roshe shel aviv. If Kohen Hediot's father's head or any of his other relatives was chopped off, the Kohen is not able to become Tomei for the body. Even though the Mefarish talks about, he says, even if the head is right there next to the body, but because it was chopped off, therefore he can't become Tomei. My time, omakro lo aviv, because the pasuk says, for his father, meaning bizman shu shalim, below bizman shu chaser, only when he's whole, not when he's lacking something. So now that he's lacking something, then therefore he can't become Tommy over there.
Even if it's still shaking.
Now further on, the Gemara is going to point out actually that this applies not only if a whole limb like the head is missing, but even if only a smaller part is missing. So that Advaz actually asks, why does Rab, that in that case, why is Rav Chista in the name of Rab, why is he telling us a case where the head was chopped off? Why doesn't he just say if anything is missing? So he gives four different answers, and the first one is similar to that. The head has such a chashivus, it's such an important organ. Maybe the kohen should be able to become tamei for that when they're one next to the other. And then he gives a couple of other explanations that only when the head is completely chopped off can he not be matame, but if it was still partially attached, then he would be able to. Then a third thing that Advaz says is that since, of course, a person's head is chopped off, he dies. So Rav Chista preferred to say it in that way, where his head was chopped off, as opposed to with other parts of the body, you would have to specify that it was chopped off and then he died. And then we don't want to do that, Arichus. And again, you could be talking about that the father was killed by having his head chopped off. So therefore, then he's not able to become Tomei. But let's say, for example, this that we're saying, this man shu shalim only applies when he's whole, meaning in other words, it doesn't have to be that he died whole. Consider, for example, that example of Yosef HaKohen with his leg being chopped off before. The son is not allowed to become Tomei for the leg. But eventually, when sometime later Yosef HaKohen passes away, his son will be able to become Tomei for him. He's missing a leg. This Kru Sholem, like Kru Chaser, means he has to have all the body parts that he had when he died still have to be together. So that would be that Advaz says that's the fourth way of understanding what Rav Chista is mentioning by the head over here, meaning, in other words, only because he was killed by beheading, only then can the son not become Tomei for him. But if let's say, with the head, there's no other way to do it because you can't have his head is chopped off and he's still alive, as opposed to with other body parts, you could conceivably have that. Okay. So Amalei Rav Hamnuna, so Rav Hamnuna asks Rav Chista, Ela me'ata, by that logic, you're telling me then that the Kohen can become Tomei for his father or other relatives only when the body is whole. What about Ka'ozo b'paksada rovis? Suppose that the father was traveling in paksada rovis. Paksa means a valley. Arovis was the name of the place. The word arovis can mean that there were arova trees growing over there. It can also mean arovis sometimes means like wilderness, like arvis moyov. Whatever, it's mentioned in a few places in Shas. It was a desolate area. There was next to no water over there. The Gemara tells in Brachas, for example, how one of the Chachamim was once traveling through there and ran out of water, and a nest happened, and a spring was created right there on the spot for him. Anyway, whatever, it's a very desolate, wild area, and it's the kind of place where bandits and robbers and highwaymen hang out. So suppose father was traveling through there, Upaskur Gandhi Larenshe, and Ganovim over there chopped off the father's head. Are you going to tell me the son is not going to be able to become Tomei for burying his father? Isn't he a mess mitzvah? Yeah. So Rav Chista says, mess mitzvah kam, but you're talking about a mess mitzvah, that's a special case. After all, we can say the Kohen is chayev to bury even a different mess mitzvah, but all like Koshek and Amak, more so his father. So in other words, there's two things. A Kohen is allowed to become Tomei for his relatives, it's actually Machlokas, whether he's allowed to or whether he has to. That same Yosef HaKohen, by the way, it says that the Gemara in Zvachim, that says that his wife passed away on Erev Pesach, and he didn't want to be involved with the burial because then he'd be Tomei and he wouldn't be able to bring the Korban Pesach. And the Chachamim forced him to become Tomei because it's a mitzvah for him. For a wife, right? So Tosfos discusses over here that the wife maybe is considered more mes mitzvah than the other relatives. We learned in Yevamos, for example, you have a case particularly when a Kohen is married to a young girl, even though on Daraisa level they're not considered married, but midrabbanan we say that's still the issue, yeah, because Kedushin with Tana aren't anything unless her father was Makadish her. But nevertheless, though, we can still consider her to be a mess mitzvah in the sense that her relatives are not necessarily going to be involved in wanting to bury her because they're going to say, look, we're not yarshining her anyway. So in that case, that might be a special case. But as far as the other relatives, Machlokas, whether it's a requirement or whether it's just that it's optional. In any case, the point is, so you have that separately, you have mes mitzvah. So now Rav Chista is saying, yeah, mes mitzvah, of course, there's no difference between a father and any other relative, and there's no difference, shalom or chosu. Either way, there's a mitzvah to bury an individual body part of a yid as well. But as far as the special dispensation that the Torah gives, and that concept of mes mitzvah applies even to a nazir, even to a kohen gadol, we're going to learn about that in the next parak. But as far as the relatives, which is only a Kohen head yet, not a Kohen Gadol, not a Nazir, that's only, as we're saying, only if they're whole. So the Gemara asks, "V'hai mes mitzvah hu?" So you're telling me that if the father was killed in Paksa Darovos, that he would be considered a mes mitzvah? But Hatanya, we learn in a Braisa, "Ezehu mes mitzvah." What is the definition of a mes mitzvah? Kol she'en le'kovrin, when there's nobody to bury him. But if he calls out and other people would answer him, there's two ways of understanding that. One is it means if the mess himself were still alive and he were able to call out and other people would come and help him, in other words, there are other people in the area, then that's not considered a mess mitzvah. The other way of understanding it is that it means that if you who found the mess mitzvah are calling out for people and there's somebody else who can answer, then he's not considered a mess mitzvah.
They have to be willing to,
but whatever. The point is, in other words, that but in this case, now in this case, this guy was killed in Paksadar Robes. The son is there with him, the pastors we're talking about. And therefore, how can the father be considered a mes mitzvah? The son is able to hire people to take care of the father's body.
We say it's desolate,
but nevertheless, apparently there are. The Gemara is assuming that there are other people in the area. Maybe, I mean, it may be desolate, and there may be ganovim or whatever. But still, there are people who pass through that area. So how can he be considered a mes mitzvah? And the answer is, the Gemara says that's exactly that. Kivin to ka'ozo ba'urcha, because they're traveling, because they're traveling on the road, and the father is lying over there in the middle of the road. Kamisha ain't like kovrim dummy. It's the equivalent of there's nobody else available to. There's nobody else available to help bury him. Right. So Tosfos mentions over here this point about again that a kohen whose wife is a katana, that he can be matame for her. Because Tosfos says that would be a rare example where the Chachamim are able to tell you to be over on a Kumaseh, even though Daraisa, she wouldn't be considered a Mes Mitzvah. Derabbanan, we consider her a Mes Mitzvah because her relatives are not going to want to bother burying her because they're going to say, yes, we're getting nothing out of her anyway, or we're not Yarshining her. Her husband is Yarshining her. Therefore, in that case, the Chachamim consider her like a Mes Mitzvah. Where Tosfos uses the expression, where there's ponim v'tam b'dover, where there's a good reason for it, then yes, the Chachamim have the ability to be oiker something in the Torah and tell you a kumvase, tell the Kohen, in this case, go be matame for your young wife, because we're going to consider her a mes mitzvah. The Rambam b'chlal holds that in general, the whole concept that even when the wife is an adult, the whole concept that the Kohen is matame for his wife, the Rambam learns the matter of mes mitzvah. Because in the pasuk it only mentions six relatives, then it says the word she'eroi, the chum darshan, the word she'eroi means a wife. But the Rambam learns differently. He says, no, there you have six relatives, plus you have the wife, which is considered a mes mitzvah.
But
she'eroi literally means his flesh. It literally means his flesh. Yeah, so okay, husband and wife become one flesh. But but the Rambam learns we don't have to douse him from she'era. In effect, the Chachamim are using that as an asmachta for the idea that they're saying that the wife is always considered a mes mitzvah.
Because
once she's married, then nobody else is gonna be. Yeah. Okay.
I would say the family would get involved, but if they didn't have money, it wouldn't.
Yeah. Okay. An interesting point, by the way. Speaking of not having money, one of the Mefoshim points out over here an interesting point why the Gemara is mentioning Paksa. The Birkas Roish talks about this. The Gemara is mentioning Paksa Darovis. One point is because of these bandits, we can assume not only did they kill him, they may have taken all his money, so there may not be any money to hire anybody else to bury the father. Yeah. Okay.
It's like
yeah.
Our neighbors are there.
Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara goes on. So the Gemara goes on, Mesvi, fine. The Gemara says, I have a contradiction now. So you're telling me that, Rav Huna, in the name of Rab, you're telling me that a Kohen is not allowed to become Tomei for his father when he's missing a head or some other limb. We learn in a Braisa, Lot Yitama, the Pasuk says that a Kohen can become Tomei for his sister, for his unmarried sister. And what does it have to say, Lot? It could have just said, V'lachoyse Yitama. What does the word Lot add? It means Lot Umetame. It means he can become Tomei only when her body is whole. V'ein Umetame Le'evareha. He cannot become Tomei for her limbs. Because we see from that even a father who's closer than a sister, you still can't become Tomei. A Kohen can't become Tomei for an Avram and Achai of his father. Again, you know, that story of Yosef HaKohen, where just before the leg is going to be cut off, he tells his son to leave the room. But on the other hand, the Braisa says, the son can go back for a piece of bone the size of a grain of barley, meaning, in other words, that if the son buried his father, and then he discovers that, so he became Tomei for the rest of the body, then he discovers that some part is missing, then he can go back and bury that part. So you see, in other words, that he can become Tomei even if parts are missing. So what are you telling me and the Gemara says, my machzor al etzim kisa'ura, so what does that mean? He can go back for a piece of bone the size of a grain of barley, which is in general the minimum amount that's considered an aver in halacha, lav the memra di mechsepurta. Doesn't that mean that if the father's body is missing something, so he's missing a finger, let's say, or whatever, he was still able to become tame for him? Now, of course, the question is, I mean, he thought that the body was whole, but still, what would allow us for him to go back and deal with that one finger? Once he realizes that it's missing, then okay, the body's already buried, he already became Tomei, but what gives him the right to go back for that, except for the fact apparently that he is able to become Tomei for individual limbs? So what would be the difference then, whether he knew at the time that something was missing, like in Rav Chista's case where he sees the head is lying next to the body, versus in our case where he didn't know?
I just wouldn't talk about this main spits, no one's around.
No, again, we're talking about the regular case of a father. The fact that a Kohen is able to bury his father or other relatives, we're saying if he discovers afterwards that there was some part missing, then he can go back and do it again.
Yeah, tell me again.
Yeah. And the one answer is Loi. No, you don't necessarily have to say that. Hahi Rabbi Yehuda. You could say that Braisa that we just quoted is only according to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that, in fact, that Rav Chista was saying before, that you can only be that the Kohen can be Metame only when the body is whole, that would only be according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda would disagree. Rabbi Yehuda the Tana would disagree. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a lof mitame. Rabbi Yehuda learns from the word lof. He learns that it means that the kohen can become tamei for his sister. Ve'en matame la'evareha. He cannot become tamei for individual limbs of her. She'en matame al ev menachai shel aviv. So again, Rabbi Yehuda says it means he can't become tamei for an ever menachai of his father. He would agree in the case of Yosef HaKohen that the son has to leave the room. But av matame hu la'ev menames shel aviv. However, he learns differently. The Tanakam, the previous Braisa, we said that he can't become Tomei for an Avim and Achai of his father, but he can go back for Etzim Kisaira. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, in the same vein, he's saying that he can become Tomei for an Avim and Amnes of his father. So yes, if his father was missing a limb and he buried him, then yes, he is able to go back and get that missing limb. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, about the same thing, the Kohen found his father's head and body separated. He would be allowed to bury the body and then go and bury the head. So fine, Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that way. The Chachamim disagree, and Rav Chisda is talking according to the Chachamim.
So
Rav Chisda would hold, the Kohen can't do that unless it's a mess mitzvah, unless like we had the case in Pax Adarabas. Okay, so the Gemara asks, V'hotani, or V'hotani really, Rav Kahana, Rav Lezman Yaakov, didn't Rav Kahana teach a Braisa from the base medrash of Rabbi Lezman Yaakov? Another meaning of loch means loch mitame ve'en matame la'evarim. Again, it means the koyan can become tomei for his sister, but not for evarim. And that means, the Braisa spells out, prat kezayis min ames. That means, as opposed to the koyan is not able to become tomei for a kezayis from the body, which is the minimum amount that's matame, the kezayis netzel, or to become tomei for a kezayis of netzel. We're going to learn about netzel in the next parak. It's when liquid comes out of the body after death and congeals. It's not a very appetizing situation, but we're going to learn about it in the next paragraph as far as how much of it is metamic. And we'll like tavad rakov, or a ladle full of dust from the body, where the body eventually decays and becomes dust, a certain size of ladle of that is metamic a person. Again, we're going to talk about that in more detail in the next paragraph. So all of those things, then the Braisa is saying, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov is saying that the Kohen is not allowed to become Tomei for them. But the Braisa continues, Yochol lo yitam al shedr of lagugolos. You would think then that the Kohen is not allowed to become Tomei for an entire spinal cord, v'lagugolos, or for an entire skull, ul'roiv binyana, or to become Tomei for a majority of the binyan, of the structure of the body, which is, for example, two long leg bones and three of the long leg bones, for example, that's considered to be the majority of the height of the body, because if you put them end to end, then it makes the majority of the height. You have, for example, two thighs and one leg bone, or two leg bones and one thigh, ulerov minyana, or the majority of the bones in the body. A person has 248 evarim, so the majority is 125. So you would think Rabbi Lezman Yaakov is saying that the koyin cannot become tomei for those. No, ksiv amaut alehem. No, but since the pasuk says you should say to them, emor al koinim bnei Aaron, v'amaut alehem. The words v'amaut means hoisef achakos of tuma acheres, means the Torah is adding to you another tuma that the koyin is able to become tomei. So yes, he can become tomei for roiv minyan and roiv binyan and things like that, where you have the majority of the frame of the body. But continues the Braisa, Yochol lo yitam l'shedru l'gogolos l'roi binyonu l'roi binyonu shal acherim. Now you would think then that he cannot become tamei for these kinds of things from other kinds of relatives. Maybe it's only a sister. Amarta, so you say no, ma achoisem yichedes, because after all, the word loch is only by a sister. But we're going to make a binyan out. Amrit, ma achoisem yichedes, what's special about a sister? Shegufa tolu boy, that her guf is dependent on him, meaning that she's his relative, that he's her relative and he's responsible for burying her. Or a different girsa is, should go, the mafarish has a girsa, should go fuh toliba. These are things that her body depends on those, or her body is not going to exist. She can't live without these kinds of things, without roi binyana and roi binyana and whatever. So the same thing is going to apply to any other relative who depends on him for burial or who depends on these body parts to live. So you see from this braisa, and this braisa is not according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that a kohen is able to become tamei for body parts of his sister. So the same thing his father. So what are you telling me, Rav Chisda, that if the head was chopped off that he can't? So the answer is, Hinami Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, you should know something. That braisa is also according to Rabbi Yehuda. Yes, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov taught the braisa, but he agrees in this din with this din with Rabbi Yehuda. Is there maybe a slight difference between them? Whatever the point is, relevant to our sugya, there's no difference between them. For Rav Amaki Haytana, rather when Rav said his din about the Kohen's head being chopped off, he's going like the following Tana. The Tanya Maisa Shemes Obim Shereb Yitzchok Ginzek. It happened that Reb Yitzchok's father passed away in Ginzek, which is a place in Modai, which nowadays is in Iran. A different gears on the side over here. It says Reb Tzadik a Kohen. Anyway, whatever the case, Reb Yitzchok or Reb Tzadik was a Kohen. Ubo Vodiu Lach Hashalosh Shanim. They came and informed him 3 years later that his father had passed away. He went and asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Elisha and four other chachamim with him, can he go there to help bury his father? Now, his father, of course, has long since been buried temporarily. But in other words, is he allowed to now go? And is he now allowed? What they often used to do was they would bury a body temporarily, and then later on, they would rebury it in the permanent place. So is he allowed to do that? To bring him to Kivrei Ovis. It's not so simple, by the way, this matter of moving bodies from one place to another. There are complicated halachas about it. But nevertheless, the din is sometimes you're allowed to. For example, you're allowed to do it to transport, to take a person from who was buried in Chutz La'aretz and bring them to Eretz Yisrael. You're allowed to, of course, Yeah, fine, but still, there are places in Eretz Yisrael that are batik varis, so it's a legitimate thing. You also have, of course, there are cases where the basic varis is going to be desecrated, as you have in many places in Eastern Europe. So you have certain dinim, and one of them is to bring them to Kivir Elvis. Anyway, so he went and asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Shava Amru Lo Abi Bizman Shu Shalom Bizman Shu Chaser, and they told him this din that you can become Tommy for your father is only when the body is whole, not when it's missing something. Here, after three years, it's obviously not intact anymore. Therefore, no, you don't have the head. So Rav is following that and saying, by the same token, then that if the body was missing the head to begin with, in other words, like we said, if the father was killed by having his head chopped off, then yes, the son cannot become Tommy for him either.
Even though he's right there.
Even though he's right. So if he's a mess mitzvah, that's different. If it was a case in Paksa da Robis, then that's different, but otherwise not. And the halacha is in fact like that. So the Kohen can become Tommy for his relative only Bizman Shu Shalim. But again, just stress, it doesn't mean that if they lost a limb in life, then he can't be Matami for them. It means if after they passed away, a limb was removed, or in this case over here, where the head was chopped off and they were killed that way, then yes, he's not able to become Tommy for them. He would have to have other people do it, unless again, he's a mess mitzvah, and then a mess mitzvah, even a Kohen Gadol, even a Nazir can deal with that.
If a father of a Kohen passed away, he's Rabbi.
He's ordinarily allowed to
be Tommy. Even though there's people there, but if
the head is missing or whatever, then he can't, only if the father is a mess mitzvah.
But he would be allowed to bury the first, the main part.
No, that's what we're saying. He can't become Tommy at all, unless it's a mess mitzvah. Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Does that apply to amputations?
No, so that's what we're saying. If the father had something amputated in life, then the son can't become Tommy for the amputated part. That was the story of Yosef HaKohen before, but the son can now become Tommy for his father when eventually he passes away, because the limb was removed while he was alive. There were no limbs removed after he passed away. What we're talking about is if limbs were removed after the father passed away.
Then the Kohen can become Tommy.
Yes. Yeah. And by the way, in order to tie this in with Yonah Diyom of Hilchas Purim, the halacha is, in general, we say most mitzvahs do not override Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is more important than almost any other mitzvah. Even it says the Kohenim in the Bais HaMikdash interrupt their avodah to go hear Mikra Megillah. The one exception is a mess mitzvah. If on Purim you come by a mess mitzvah, then you bury it first, and then if there's time, then you go hear Megillah reading.
How can that be? I mean, the Megillah is midrabanan. How can you say it is? Supersedes any other mitzvah.
Even though it's only derabanan, nevertheless, the chachamim made it strong enough to override most other mitzvahs, with the exception of mess mitzvah.
It's only Megillah that's going to be lost in lava,
yeah.
So are you saying, actually, that, let's say, the reading of the Megillah is more important than putting on tefillin or davening?
I mean, usually we have, of course, if Efshalah, Soysa, both, if you can accomplish them both, then you do them both, right? What we're talking about over here, this idea that for example, let's say again, Kohenim interrupt their Avodah, or for example, a person interrupts his Talmud Torah in order to hear Megillah. Yeah, obviously, if you're talking about what, if there's not enough time in the day left, then I don't know, actually. What does one have to do with the other? Put on tefillin and read the Megillah at the same time, for example, yeah.
Are you yotzev reading the Megillah to yourself?
Sure, as long as you read it from a kosher Megillah.